Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here. When you figure that last night, as people were coming and leaving in the midst of worship, it was a storm, just pouring down rain. It certainly is nice to see the sunshine and also to see the sun shining in our hearts in the joy and glory of the resurrection. Before I get to any other announcements, I just want to let God's people know that whether you had been one of the people that donated or not, the Easter lilies need to leave the church after this morning. So whatever you don't take, we're probably are just going to be taking out of the sanctuary here. So if you might have a use for that or a need for that, by all means, help yourself doing that. Also this morning, hopefully you had a chance. We had our fellowship. We thank our people who kind of headed that up. But while you were back there, I hope you had the chance also to check on the script program. Our script people are going to be stopping by, are going to be here just briefly after late church. If you have any other questions or any other information, we're going to be doing that every other week. We order every other week, and then the weeks that we're not ordering is when they will be delivered to the people that place the orders in. As we get more of that going, they might start doing it every Sunday, but for now, it's going to be an every other week thing. But it does benefit the mission and ministry of our congregation, so please help us with that. Also, I sent out, and a lot of you got, though some of you didn't get, an email about what's going on with the congregation. We're going to start sending those out with a little bit more regularity, but if you didn't get it, that means that we don't have your email. And we need to get that. We want to get your name also added to the list so that we can, as we send things out, some of the things we send out, especially we get times of inclement weather with the hurricanes and so forth, we want to be able to keep you in the loop on all of that and also the things that are going on here at church. So if you can put that on one of the Faith Fellowship cards, just your email address, and leave it like with one of the ushers so that they can get the stack to me after church. It just takes a few minutes to add your name onto the email list. So we started seeing last week, we've got a new Wednesday worship, and we've talked about it before. It is at 6:30 every Wednesday night, a very different kind of worship than what we're used to. And if you're regularly here as a part of our worship, the worship may not be targeted for you, but it is targeted for some people in your life that you know, people that haven't been to church in a long time, maybe never. And maybe one of the easiest ways for you to kind of, if you need to work up a little bit of nerve to see, look, is it really worth bringing a person like that along to something like this? Check out our service yourself on our Wednesday nights. It's a very different, as I said, a very different kind of a service than what you're used to. We're holding it back in the conference room each week. And speaking of the conference room, we had put up a little visual about some chairs that we were going to give everybody the chance to adopt. It's $47.50 made payable to the church for one chair. That works out to $95 a pair. That's still less than $100. For people, some people that thought these chairs were going to cost us over $100 each, we are actually able to get these here. And you can see they're just very, very beautiful chairs here. But more to the point, we just found out that a box, a really big, heavy box of them, is arriving tomorrow. And these things, unfortunately, are some assembly required. So we need some people who have got their electric drills. We're going to try to set up a kind of a chair assembly party about 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. We need them for executive council Monday night. We got pastors coming in on Tuesday, and then I'd rather not do any more of those Wednesday worships with those metal folding chairs. But so as they come in, we'd like to get those put together. We'll be here tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. We'd like you to help us, but please bring your electric screwdrivers if you do. Because if we only have one or two people here, it's going to take us a while. If we have several people helping us, it won't take long to get those chairs put together, and we can kind of feed off of each other what you're supposed to do to make sure that that happens. For all of you that have donated to that fund, we thank you very much. It does help. Finally, just do remember that we've just gotten done with the Sunday morning Bible classes. The Wednesday morning Bible class on Luke also continues back in the conference room. So the only other thing that I have is the funeral for Mr. Robert Shirkus, for Bob Shirkus, is this coming Saturday. We had originally had listed a time of 10 o'clock. That has been moved to 10:30. Now there will be a visitation going on at 10 o'clock here at Faith, but the funeral itself will now start at 10:30. Please let us know that you were here this morning with those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you for both our members and our guests. Our order of worship this morning is Matins. There's no opening hymn, and the greeting of the peace is moved a little bit further into the service. So we're going to take a moment here for silence to prepare our hearts for worship, and then we will begin with the invocation and opening responses. May the Lord bless us as we celebrate in the joy that Jesus has risen from the dead. As you are able, please stand. We begin by bringing to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He brings us light. He brings us life. God is light. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Beloved in the Lord, we know of God's abiding goodness and mercy. With confidence, let us come before our Lord to confess our sins and to find the forgiveness we seek, beginning with a moment of silence. God, whose word establishes reality, we admit that we have turned from the face-to-face relationship of love with you, for which we have been created. Sin infects us through and through, yet we trust in our risen Savior alone, whose life, death, and resurrection has brought your healing power to bear on our sinful nature. Hear us and heal us by your love, for Jesus' sake. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May you live confidently in this life as you await the joy of life everlasting. Be at peace. Let's now greet one another in the peace of the Lord. And we continue with the service of the word.
Today's reading from Holy Scriptures are for the second Sunday in Easter. The first lesson is from Acts chapter 4. Great unity filled the early church as the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. St. Luke writes, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with the great power of the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many were owners of lands and of houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 1. God has come near to us, and with his light and life, the apostle writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him While we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us for all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with his Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is in propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Long ago, at many times, in various ways, God spoke to us, to the forefathers, by his prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. In the traditional gospel lesson for the Sunday after Easter, Jesus appears to a troubled Thomas who makes a confession of faith. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In place of the confession of faith, we share a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's small catechism this morning, the Lord's Prayer, Introduction, First, and Second Petitions. What is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer? What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. What is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. What is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. We hear again from the book of Acts. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You may be seated. Friends, especially as I have been receiving word here in both of our services this morning that this is the last Sunday for at least a few of our snowbirds, I keep being reminded that whether you just travel down here or you're from here, with family elsewhere, we probably do a little bit more than our share of travel. And even though you get yourself to the point where travel, aside from the fact that most of you guys are going to be going back to the north into a snowstorm, good luck with that. But for most of us, it becomes rather mundane. We know what to expect. We know the kinds of things that can happen, but most of the time, everything works out pretty well. But then there are those times when we put together one of the most complicated travel itineraries you can ever imagine. It might be people from 5 or 6 different places trying to get to one place. I knew this fellow back in South Dakota, and he was always amassing frequent flyer miles with all these different airlines. So when his family would go on a vacation, he would stick 2 on one airline to go through one city and 2 on another airline for one city. And, you would hope things like that would work out. And even in my family, when we went to celebrate my parents' 50th wedding anniversary almost 10 years ago, they made the decision that we were going to spend our time at an all-inclusive in Mexico. And all of us were going to be originating from one of two cities, either Atlanta or Chicago. And even though I was living in Illinois, I had driven down, I became part of the Atlanta contingent. And indeed, we were going to be the first ones to take off that day, arriving a little sooner, and it was just strange what happened. I'd really never taken a trip like that completely out of the country like that before, and yet here it was. Everything was going smoothly. We got to the airport on time. Everything was checked in and all of that. The flights were always on time. There was no glitches along the way. We landed. Once we got down, we did exactly what we were told to do, like you should do in a foreign country, and didn't do anything we weren't told to do. Even if it didn't make sense to us, if they said, 3 of you go over there, 3 of us went over there. And then eventually we got through customs and their lines, and we got into the shuttles that took us to this all-inclusive hotel. We got checked in, and finally was given my key. And I don't know why I had this thought, but here we were, the Atlanta group was now completely there, and I'm just thinking, boy, those guys from Chicago, flying out of Chicago, are in big trouble. I don't know why I thought that, but sure enough, everything that went well for us went horribly for them. They were in long lines for customs and were eventually stopped by customs and had to get a couple things straightened out. They got in the wrong shuttle. We arrived at the hotel shortly after 12 noon. They were supposed to follow by about 3 hours. It was after midnight when they finally arrived, and all their luggage did not arrive with them. Well, even though it was, at the time, it was kind of a disaster, at some point, all of those things come together. And the whole purpose of why you did something like that ends up being, you know, the thing that ends up dominating what takes place in the days to come. And whatever happened, you know, back there just ends up something that gives that trip a little bit of flavor, something to remember it by. Well, my friends, the disciples seem to be on a journey like this as we see our gospel lesson, then followed by our text for this morning. And indeed, in different ways, it's a lesson that we find ourselves on in the same way. Because it seemed like the disciples kept going down streets that just didn't make any sense to them, and literally they were getting more and more lost by the moment. You could already tell that while we celebrated Easter joy last Sunday, there was no joy amongst any of them. All there was fear. And they had locked themselves in a room in a house for fear of the Jews. And they were trying to make sense out of what had just happened. First, they had tried to make sense out of their everlasting king, who came in Jerusalem just like he was supposed to, but an everlasting king isn't supposed to die. And while they were contemplating, what happened? How did we get that so wrong? Literally hours later, here come these women. First telling them that they had seen a vision of angels. A couple of disciples went and checked out the tomb themselves and didn't see anything. And then eventually the ladies, some of them actually saw Jesus, starting with Mary Magdalene. And then two, not of the 12 apostles, but other disciples of Jesus on a road to Emmaus, were joined by Jesus that afternoon. They were told about it, and they were actually saying something about it when Jesus finally appeared into their midst. And although it says they were glad to see the Lord, maybe totally overjoyed and a stunned shock might be the understatement of the year, because this didn't make sense to them either. With what they did to Jesus, how could he have defeated that? And yet, Jesus wanted the mess of what was behind them in their journey to start being brought to an end. And the first thing that he said to them, peace. Peace be with you. Now, when Jesus gives us a greeting, this isn't like somebody walking up to you and saying, hey, hi, nice to see you again, guys. Not like that at all. Jesus gives us the peace that the world cannot give. It is real. It is in our hearts. It transcends anything that we can compare it to in this world. And he wanted to make sure that that was the first thing they heard. From now on, God's peace will always be with you. Well, at some point then, he had to show them. He showed them. Oh yeah, it's him. There's his hands with the mark of the nails. There's his side where the spear went in. It's him, all right. But then he repeats his special blessing to them. Peace be with you. But he doesn't stop there. He says, as the Father has sent me. Think about that one for a minute. What did the Father send him to do? Oh, nothing. Just die on the cross for the world's sins, rise from the dead to show that he has defeated death forever. And as the Father sent him to do all of that, now he is sending you. Wow. What must he have in mind for each of us? This, my friends, is a true commission, a true great commission, as you will. But he wasn't going to send them out empty. Oh, he hadn't already. He said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so now I am also sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is going to turn a light on in their hearts and minds that had been off, that could not see the things that they needed to see, and to show the kind of power that comes with receiving the Holy Spirit, then he makes the proclamation that as part of this sending, as part of you going forth from the midst of the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose ever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. As Christ won the power over sin, now he passes that on. Now he gives that to his church, where we can excitedly tell people how wonderful it is for them to know that the price for their sin has been paid. And if necessary, because the only way that price can be paid is through Jesus, you reject Jesus, you reject the hope of getting your sins forgiven. But what he sends us forth with is simply a way of saying that as we go forth with the commissioning of God, we go forth equipped, we go forth ready, we go forth with great zeal and love for our Savior to do whatever it is that he's going to have us do, with the exception of what? Somehow, whatever was going on, whatever he might have been doing that night, Thomas didn't see any of that. And from one Thomas to another, the doubt would be perfectly predictable. This is what I would expect out of any of us, and I certainly expect it out of me. The scriptures give the impression that this was almost like a kind of a one-time thing here, where they were trying to say to him, yeah, it's real. And he's like, no. But I can imagine what was happening this week, because it was another week before they saw Jesus again. Throughout that week, they were trying to convince him, no, you don't understand. And each of them would maybe even try to give a description of what they saw. And Thomas was getting annoyed with it all, and finally, he just put his foot down. Look, unless and until I myself with my finger get to put my finger into the mark of the nails, and I get to put my hand into his side, unless and until that happens, don't bother me, because I, and then he uses one of the strongest words, negative words in the Greek vocabulary, I will never believe. Stubborn hard-heartedness, which one Thomas standing before you knows too well, hardly gets worse than that. And yet, what's Jesus' message to him? Peace be with you. That same peace to him that he gave to the disciples, that he gives to me, that he gives to you, that he gives to a world, now he gives to Thomas. And then he says to Thomas, okay, if you need to, here's my hands, here's my side. Stop disbelieving. Believe. And oh, by the way, is it because you saw me that you believe? Because guess what? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because when it's all said and done, we watch Jesus go through his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, and his seating at the throne on high. And what do we fast forward to? All of the confusion of the past disappears, and from these same seemingly incompetent apostles, we hear these words. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Those same apostles were sent forth with a special message. And that special message was to tell everybody what Jesus has done for them. A message we can do. A message that is going to guide us to the places where we are going to go. It seems as a congregation that there are always things that have us wondering, things that have us in doubt, things that have us in confusion, things that have us wondering about our future. But as God's grace abounds in us more and more and more. As that takes place, then we see what the greatness of God and the greatness of what he does through us really happens. Because now we are given a chance to see. Now we are given a chance to understand that we can engage God's people. We have what we need. There is nothing better, nothing more attractive, nothing, even amongst a world of sin that must be overcome both by us and by the people that we are trying to reach out to. The greatest message of all has come through Jesus Christ. Yes, my friends, that same great power that comes through Christ's peace, that comes through the Holy Spirit, that comes through the forgiveness of sins, that power is now upon you. And so, yes, we can give our testimony also to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because going forth from now, wherever God leads us, that is what the great grace of a great church is really all about. His peace will be with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. Continuing with the Kyrie, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because of your tender love toward us sinners, you have given us your Son that believing in him, we might have everlasting life. Continue to grant us your peace, your Holy Spirit, and the power that allows us even to forgive sins, that we may remain steadfast in this faith to the end and finally come to life everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, grant that we, who have been redeemed from the old life of sin by our baptism into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, may be renewed by your Holy Spirit to live in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, as you are with us through the good times and the bad, we lift up our hearts on behalf of those who face the struggles of life, both known and unknown. We now lift up before you someone in our own life that is going through the sorrow, the tragedy, the trouble, the loneliness, and all of the other things that struggle to keep us focused on you, that we name before you in a moment of silence. May we be made strong in faith, perfect in holiness, be comforted in life and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Having revealed your glory in the face of your only begotten Son, who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, you have exalted him to the highest majesty that he might graciously fill all things, as he has delivered us into new life with him. Grant us faithfully to eat and drink this holy supper, trusting our reigning Savior Jesus, who though unseen in his glory is here present to save us by his body and blood. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. the words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, as you give us of your body and blood to eat and to drink, may we now always remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes near the bottom of page 9, the closing prayer. Please stand as we pray together. Almighty God, you sent your Son to be our light and our life. Shine his light into our darkness and comfort us with the hope of resurrection, that we may share his light and life throughout the world. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our script people are in the back if you still have some questions about that. And remember, we're going to try to have whoever can show up tomorrow, about 4:30 or so, kind of a chair assembly party for some chairs that are arriving tomorrow. Friends, go in peace. And for those of you who are here for the last time, may God grant you safe travel. Serve the Lord.